Hello everyone, and welcome to NBC. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jenny, and I'm a member here, and I'll be leading the service today. So to start with, just a few notices. Firstly, if anyone can stay behind after the service to help arrange the chairs for Open House, which is taking place this afternoon, that would be greatly appreciated. And also a request for prayer. It's the Deacons' strategy meeting this afternoon. So if you could pray for that, that would be great. So let us join together in prayer as we come to worship our Lord and hear his word. Lord, we gather here today as people who seek to know you in some way. Some of us are just starting out on the journey. Others aren't really sure if you are there at all. And others still have been journeying with you for many years. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each of us, no matter where we are on our journey of faith, and that you would help each one of us to grow and know more of you, so that our faith, even if it is as small as a mustard seed, would grow to be like the largest tree in the garden. Amen.
Okay, let's stand and sing. We're going to sing Praise Him, Heaven. Continue with our God is a great big God. Actions optional, I think. Our God is a great big God. 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 He holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper. He's deeper than the submarine. He's wider than the before the world began. How wonderful.
If you'd all like to be seated. Now, I don't have a story box, but I do have a big bit of paper, so I wonder if some of the smaller people might like to come to the front and see what I've got to show them. So, who can remember last time that Richard had his story box out? He got a big piece of blue sheet, didn't he? Can anyone remember the story? No? Shall we have a bit of a recap? So, when Richard told us his story, we learnt about how Jesus was on a boat. And then there came a storm, and the waves got really big, and the wind was really loud and strong, and everyone was frightened on the boat. And then Jesus said, "Stop!" And the wind and the waves stopped. And all of Jesus' friends who were with him were amazed because he had commanded the wind and the waves to stop, and they had. And today we're going to learn about what happened next. So when the boat got to the other side of the lake. So Jesus got out of the boat, and it was nighttime by then. And when he got out of the boat, two men came towards him. But the men were very unhappy. They were very sad. And this is because the men had evil spirits inside of them. And the evil spirits made them very angry. And so that meant that other people were afraid of them. And they didn't have any friends. And they couldn't live in the town. So they lived in tombs, and the tombs were like caves. And when Jesus got off the boat, the evil spirits that were inside the men knew that Jesus would tell them to leave the men because they were making the men very unhappy. Now nearby, there was a big herd of pigs. And the evil spirits said to Jesus, "If you send us out of the men, please let us go into the pigs." And Jesus said, "Very well." So the evil spirits came out of the men, and they went straight into the pigs, and then the pigs ran over the edge of a cliff into the sea, and that's where they drowned. And so in just 24 hours, so one day, Jesus had shown us his amazing power twice, because he'd said to the wind and the waves, what did he say? Stop, and they stopped. And he said to the evil spirits, "Go out of those men." And they left the men, went into the pigs, and drowned. So we can remember that if we're ever afraid, we can trust in Jesus because his power is more powerful than anything in the heavens and the earth. Amen. Right, so if you'd like to go back to your seats, and then those who are going out to their groups can go out now, and the rest of us will continue to praise God for his power.
Okay, just as people are still going out, we're going to continue our worship. We're going to sing "Great is the Lord and Most Worthy of Praise." So if you're able to, if you'd like to, please stand with us and sing.
The Lord and most worthy of praise.
city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the
Let us pray together for our world. This morning, the Iraqi government army launched its offensive to liberate the western part of Mosul from IS. The city is believed to have 650,000 civilians trapped there. Lord, we pray for the people in Mosul. We pray for your protection over them as they are trapped in this conflict. These people have suffered much already and will be terrified as this fresh bout of violence comes towards them. Lord, in times and situations like these, it is hard to know what to pray for, other than to place everything in your hands, that you know what each and every person needs, and we pray that you would make yourself known to them, that even in the darkest place, your light would shine. We also pray for the ongoing refugee crisis across Europe. Lord, thank you that despite in the daily news reports we see people prioritizing their own rights and welfare, we also see displays of kindness and generosity. The demonstration of 160,000 people in Spain yesterday demanding that their government accepts more refugees from war-torn areas such as Syria gives us encouragement. We pray that we would see more of this in our everyday lives and in the news, and that we ourselves would take action in whatever form to show your grace, love, and kindness to the world. for the righteous will ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these my brothers, you did for me. Amen. And now Rowena will bring us our reading, which is Matthew 8, verses 18 to 34.
When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Then he got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, You have little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came from the tombs to meet him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with the Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. And he said to them, Go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region.
Thank you, Rowena. Now let's pray for Richard and for the sermon. Lord, thank you for your word and for your guidance of Richard in the past week as he prepared his sermon for today. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through Richard's sermon and that you would help us understand your meaning. We ask that you would speak to us individually about how you want us to respond to what we are about to hear, and that you would give us the faith and courage to carry out what you ask of us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jenny. After the harsh words on the beach, the boat was like a refuge. None would catch the other's eye as the words of Jesus bounced back and forth and back again in their heads. Click, clack, rattle, rattle, rattle. Nowhere to rest. Nowhere to stay. No safe haven. Let the dead bury their own dead. What on earth had they signed up for? Who was this man? To be honest, it was a relief to see him sleeping now. At least asleep, he could not squidge their certainties and snap the elastic of their minds in the way that he'd been doing. This was their place now, their waters, their element, their safe place. Rocked in it like a babe in a mother's arms, everything seemed a little better now. The creak of the boat and the slap of the waves was as familiar as the ticking of an old clock on a grandmother's mantelpiece. Suddenly, the clock was running wildly out of time, hands whizzing round like a mad thing, gentle breeze whipped up into a screaming banshee in seconds. Comforting waves were now like the back of some beast disturbed beneath the boat and rearing up to wreak its revenge. An old terror of the waters, passed on with the blood from their fathers' fathers, ran cold in their veins now. even here, even in sight of the land, their graves could be right here in this evil, broiling water. And what was he doing? How was he helping? Asleep in the stern, as if nothing had happened and he was no more than cargo on this tiny boat. "Wake up," they chorused. "We'll drown if you don't." And one eye opened, and then another. And a word which sounded a little bit like coward, and then he was fully awake. And standing now in the prow of the bucking, rearing boat, he looked out at the waves, swept his arm across them and all across the troubled sky, and told it all to stop. And it did. Instantly. "Who is this man?" they mouthed at one another as the boat resumed its course to the other shore. Now, on the far side, the two men there knew just who he was. Their skin was filthy and covered in scars. Their hair had not seen any water but the rain these many years. The place of the dead was home to these half-living things, and their mouths had long since given in to the devils within. As if on autopilot, someone or something inside them saw Jesus coming and roared, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" Well, we all know what he wanted. It was the same thing he always wanted: to set free, to poke Satan in the eye, to live up to the ancient description of him as the one who would come and would open eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. This is our Jesus, and we know all about it. And we would have drowned out the squealing of the pigs with our clapping and cheering if we'd been there. Or would we? Would we have been clapping and cheering and whooping because this wonderful thing had gone on? Or would we have curled up in the hull of the boat with a disciple who maybe wished it would all go away? Would we have joined in the crowd asking Jesus to please move on and do his disturbing breed of magic elsewhere? Thank you very much. Would we have gazed wistfully at the now calm sea and wished that things could have been the way they were before the before? You see, a passage like this is a reminder that you and I follow a dangerous Messiah. And wind and waves and demons and madness and scary things are all at his command, and nothing is normal when he's around. And you know, you can't turn the hands on the discipleship clock backwards once it's started. You can't have a tame Jesus or an anodyne Jesus or a harmless Jesus once you have met the real thing. And once you've met him, there's no other way to imagine him. Some of you may remember this picture. It comes on the front of our baptismal course, and it's called, appropriately enough, Taking the Plunge. I took that on Lake Garda. And I saw all these people getting ready to go in, and it was evening, so actually the air was cold and the water would have been even colder. And I just had to wait and see one of them actually brave enough to go in. And sure enough, they all went in one after the other, and the water would have been freezing cold, but it was crystal clear and there was beauty all around. Friends, plunge into the waters of faith and you are in it up to your neck. And the only thing to do is strike out for the far shore and trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your dreams. Trust him with the string of failed plans you wear around your neck like a necklace that only you can see. Trust him. It's all you can do. It's all they could do at the end of that day, when they'd seen the wind and the waves obey him, and they'd seen these two possessed creatures turned into human beings again. It was all they could do. Just to trust him wherever it would take them next. Somebody years and years ago gave this little prayer to a submarine captain. It came from a Breton fishing crew, but somebody had it made into this little tablet and then passed it to a submarine captain. And then years later, that submarine captain presented it to JFK, and he put it on the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. And as he sat there in what was arguably the epicenter of power in the world at the time, he would look at that again and again. Oh God, thy sea is so great and my boat is so small. Not too sure whether the current occupant has it on his desk or not. And mightn't be a bad thing if he did. But actually, let's not waste time, you and I, speculating about that. Because what matters a whole lot more is whether you have it on your desk. What matters a whole lot more is whether you look at that and you treat that as a way to live your lives. Trusting him, dangerously trusting him. But you know, the thing with this whole faith and trust business is that it comes in incremental steps. Let me explain what I mean. I'll have to come out of here for a minute. You see, I don't think God ever expects us, he doesn't expect me to jump from here to there immediately. You know, God does not expect us to go from no faith to lots of faith in one move. You know, and he might say to you today, look, could you just trust me to come this far? And you think, well, okay, I can trust you that far. And then actually next time he asks you to trust him, you don't start from down here anymore because you've already come up one step. He says, well, could you trust me to the next step? And you think, well, okay, I can do that. Because I've got that far, I can come this far. And then the next time he comes to you and he says, well, look, you know, I need you to push the boat out a little bit further. I need you to believe that I can quieten those demons too. Can you trust me for that? And you maybe come up that next little step. And it's bit by bit by bit. And slowly that journey of faith takes place. And slowly we climb our way up those steps, but never all of them at once. One little bit of trust followed by another one and another one. I have this wonderful old book. It's falling apart. If I tell you it would cost 16 shillings, that gives you an idea as to how old it was. And I inherited, stolen from Teddington Baptist Church Library. Now, it was given to me. It was given to me. Ancient, ancient book, but I absolutely love it. It's called The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith by Spurgeon. Simple things. Simple words of exhortation. You see, for these disciples, every miracle they witness and every parable they hear and every healing they watch, all of those things are little investments in the bank of faith. Every time they see those things happening, so they squirrel them away because one day the day will come when they need them. Every single one of those things is an investment placed in the bank of faith, ready for the day when Jesus is no longer physically with them. When the time would come, after his resurrection, which was great, and after his ascension, which was kind of scary, for them to strike out across the known worlds with a strange message of love and hope that nobody had ever heard before, when that moment came, these things would serve them well. And with every little stretch of faith, so the trust that they had learned was going to count for so very much. Yeah, it's a weird thing, you don't really want to think about it too much, but when you exercise and as you stretch your muscles, so they tear slightly and then the fabric closes over, the tissue of your muscle closes over, and then next time it happens again and it closes over, and so the muscles grow. And so the muscle of faith is stretched, tiny bit by tiny bit. And every bit that you store away is there for the time when you need it. Every bit is stored away so that when you open the checkbook of the bank of faith, there is something in it. And you don't know at the time what you're storing it away for. You don't know what it is you're going to need it for, but take it to heart. So that next time you're in the boat crossing the stormy sea, or next time you see some people who scare the living daylights out of you, you actually find that stored away in the bank of faith, there's enough for you to write a check and say, well, I can cover this, I've got this one. You don't know at time why you're storing it away, but you do know that the day will come when you have to use it. See, step by step by step, Jesus builds our faith up. Not all in one, but in this gradual process where all of a sudden we look back and we find we're standing up here rather than down there. How the heck did that happen? Well, it came as we trusted him for this step, and then that one, and then the next one. And that's what was going on in this story with these disciples. These disciples are so dull in their understanding and so dim in their faith, it seems sometimes. But slowly what was happening to them was that the deposit in that bank of faith was going up and up and up and up. So that when he was gone and they had to take on his work, there was plenty in there. They were never going to go overdrawn. Because all they needed was stored in there. Can I introduce you to our new next door neighbour? There he is. By the time I came out this morning, he was so exhausted after yesterday that he wasn't up yet. You see, this little bird has been fighting off all these blue tits, and there's one in our bedroom window, and there's one in the dining room window, and there's one in the wing mirrors of the car, and there's one in the windscreen of the car, and there's one in the back window of the car. He was at it all day yesterday, and he dare not settle down with a mate till he's fought off these other birds from his territory. And he's absolutely exhausted by fighting the wrong battle. And fighting the wrong enemies, as are some of us, exhausted from fighting the wrong battles. And Jesus comes to us in that exhaustion and says, will you not trust me? Will you not trust me when I have the wind and the waves at my command and I can tell the devils to pack their bags and go running? Will you not trust me in the midst of it? Stop fighting the wrong battle. Join me in the right one and let me help you. You know, you and I need to trust him in the storm even when we feel like he's asleep and doesn't even care. You and I need to trust him in when the madness is all around us and we're not quite sure whether we want it to stop. We need to trust him anyway. You know, Jenny mentioned earlier on that the deacons will be spending their time on the strategy afternoon this afternoon. There's a lot of important stuff to talk about. You know, we've got all of this, you know, all that goes on here and all that we want to go on here. There's so much to talk about. But I tell you what, we're not going to start with plans or budgets or flow charts or Gantt charts or any other kind of chart. We are not going to start with all of that. We're going to start with the deacons sitting down in pairs with each other, saying to each other as Christian man and Christian woman, so how's it going with you and God then? Are you trusting him today? We'll get on to the other stuff. But there's no point talking about it unless you have the first conversation. There's no point talking about the big plans unless the small steps of faith are there too. You see, the journey of faith and building big things for God, and I know you all want to do that, starts with taking the small steps with him. Trust him in the storm. Trust him in the madness. It all starts here. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Richard. Let us now stand for our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art. let us close together in prayer. Lord, thank you for the great honour and blessing that we can gather together to worship you. We thank you that you are an almighty God, all-powerful in the heavens and earth, and yet you know each of us as your child. Send us out this week with the knowledge of your power, majesty, and grace, strong in our hearts and minds, that we might fully rely on you.